got a bottle of cold water up here.
And I think what we all stand for is a radical internet standpoint, which means that internet from its history was designed to transport data and not to filter out certain content. My name is Sabine Helmers. I'm doing quite boring technology development research on internet. And last year I became involved in an act of censorship against the Dutch provider Access for All, and I tried to organize the resistance in Germany and to get all the information in order to inform the people what's going on in Germany. And I'm sitting together on this podium with friends and colleagues. I will introduce them to you.
Okay, there's something wrong with the sound, but I think it will come back. She was just telling about an introduction.
Is it better now? Okay. On my right side, there is André Müller-Magon from the Chaos Computer Club in Germany. He's sitting here because he has a lot of inside knowledge about what is happening in Bonn as the politicians are discussing and working on certain internet laws, which will all also have influence on the freedom of speech on the internet in Germany. And on the left, this is Nils Kaiser. He's working together with a German left-wing politician by the name of Angela Marquardt. And Angela Marquardt was the first person in Germany who had to go to court. She was accused of supporting political terrorist groups because she simply made a weapon from her homepage to a left-wing magazine, Radikal, which is most of the time, most of the issues forbidden in Germany. And he is sitting here because he has a lot of inside knowledge what was happening in this trial, in this hypercase, hypertext trial. And on the left, you may all know Felipe Rodriguez, who is manager at Access for All, and he was the victim of this act of German censorship, which happened last year and this year again. And he's here because he's representing the Dutch point of view of this act. I have to apologize for my bad English, but I hope at least you can understand what I'm going to say. And for a short introduction, I would like to have a general remark about censorship. An old golden rule of netiquette says, every user has the right to say anything, and every user has the same right to ignore anything. This means that most people also are free to put things on the web and to spread things like child pornography or political magazines. Today, governments cannot really prevent their citizens from receiving such nasty information, although they try hard, and they sometimes become real pain in the ass for the netizen in some countries. I think we all know the situation in Singapore or China, and Germany, maybe it's not that bad, but it's not very good, and we will talk about this today. Free speech is made possible because of internet-specific technology, and this technology enables, for example, dissidents from Tibet to inform the world what is going on in Tibet and in China. The technology does not treat anyone differently and does not regard the content, and the technology is for the people and can be used by everyone. In the good old days of internet, the freedom of information was a basic right which we all had taken for granted. And nowadays, the children and Puritans, decent citizens, are online. There are restrictions being discussed and sometimes also carried out on national and international level. Whereas in the United States, the so-called Communications Decency Act was found anti-constitutional recently by a Supreme Court decision. Something wicked comes this way in other countries, for example in Germany. Just to give you an example, the German Minister for Family Affairs and Young People, Claudia Neute, said that she wants to turn the internet into a safe playground for children, to turn the whole internet into a kindergarten, and she exclaims that anything which could corrupt minors has no place on the internet. German politicians do not only try to ban internet information and apply a moral filter, for example banning child pornography, which is illegal all over the world, but German politicians, police and prosecutors also wish to apply political filters of content. Of course, in Germany, as in many other countries, the freedom of speech is part of the constitution, but this basic right is bound, however, by quite a few constrictions. And because there are so many exceptions, the daily practice shows that Germany is a not very liberal freedom of speech country. This is not only true for pacifistic opinions or left-wing opinions, also quite a few right-wing politicians get caught because if they say something about the Holocaust and if they publish papers which are somehow anti-Semitic and deal with the Auschwitz lie, and they will get into prison for that as well. And we will talk today about the old leftist magazine Radikal and the blocking of the Dutch provider Access for All. Those both cases give a good example for German liberalism and freedom of speech. So Germany is not a supporter of radical political freedom like, for example, in the United States. And in practical daily life, many things which are seen as being politically offensive can lead to prosecution. And we would like to inform you that some people in our country would like to see the restrictive measures which are carried out in real life also applied to the internet. Today we are lucky that state authorities maybe still lack a really profound working knowledge of the internet and also technological equipment to make what they want, a clean German internet, to become true. And also politicians in Germany are working on a consensus in European policy. And what I hope for is that the more restrictive politicians or political initiatives by some groups can be stopped somehow by more libertarian initiatives, at least on a European level. And just because of the German Nazi history, I would hope that people are very aware of the basic right of freedom of speech and fight any acts of political censorship. But so far, outside the community of the netizen only, there is no noticeable anti-censorship movement which would articulate concerns about what's going on in Germany. So maybe the internet people, the German netizens, need a bit of support. So this is my general introductory remark. And I would now like to start the discussion, and I would like to start with Filippo Rodriguez and his Dutch provider internet point of view.
Well, let me first begin with a little history, how this all started. 5th of September 1995, as you may have heard earlier, we had a raid by the Scientology Church in our offices, and exactly 365 days later, the 5th of September 1996, we got a message about access role being blocked by German providers. We got this message from a German friend who was trying to access the website and couldn't get in. So we did a little research. We didn't receive any formal messages. We didn't receive any notification either from the German government nor from German providers nor from the Dutch government or the Dutch police or anything. And so we were a little bit confused about what happened. And with a little bit of testing, we found out that indeed we were being blocked by some of the major Dutch commercial providers. What had happened was that one of our subscribers, by then we had I think about 16 or 17,000 subscribers in 1996, had put up a document which is called Radikal. This is a German magazine which in Germany is illegal, but it's not illegal in Holland as far as we know, and it's not illegal in a lot of other countries. So he put this on his homepage, and the German providers had received orders from the Justice Department that they had to prevent the spread of this document on German soil. Otherwise, the Justice Department would start prosecution against these providers. And of course the providers got really scared and tried to block our site. They didn't block only this one document. Radikal was one of the homepages we had. We had thousands of homepages, and this was only one. They blocked our whole site because they had no other technical way to block our website. So they blocked the whole site with you know, thousands of web pages. So we were quite angry. And the first thing we did was we changed the IP number of our site. So they blocked the IP number of our website, and we started rotating these IP numbers every minute. We have a Class B network, so it's lots of IP numbers. That worked for about a week, until they found out what was happening. And then they decided to just block everything, our entire BNet, email, telnet sessions. You know, they really went berserk. And then I sent a complaint to the European Commission and said that, look, this is really truly an infringement of human rights and freedom of speech. This is going too far. And they turned it back. They continued blocking the website, but they stopped blocking anything else. And that lasted for about 4 weeks. And then they decided that this is not working. After 4 weeks, this illegal document had been copied to, I think, about 50 websites around the world. And that was in the United States and several universities around Holland and on other continents. So this block of this one site, AccessFro, was not really effective anymore because it was all around. It was actually counterproductive to block this document. So after 4 weeks, the providers decided this is no use and, you know, let's stop this block and go back to business. And then a couple of months later, in May 1997, I got another message, not from the government. Not from the German government, not from the Dutch government, not from the Dutch police, not from the German police, but from some user that our website was again being blocked. And this time by the German Academic Network. And well, we now had a lot of experience with these issues. So the first thing we did was mount a big scandal about this, send out lots of press releases. So a lot of people got angry and started to send protest letters to the managing director of this academic network. And it so happened that some of the German academics were using resources at the Access for All website, which were also blocked. And one of the main activities of the academic network is, of course, to provide service to academics. And you cannot block all kinds of things that German academics use. So they felt also forced to stop blocking our website and said, well, this is no use, it's everywhere. And one thing I did is I sent the managing director of the BFM, the academic network, a letter with a copy to the state prosecutor, saying, well, please, if you block our site, take note of these other 50 sites where this document is also copied. And now that you officially know about these 50 sites, why don't you block them as well? Sort of to say, you know, if you block us, then you have to block all the other ones. And that would generate a snowball effect, because if they block 50 sites, then this document will be in 500 sites next week. And Germany will basically become an intranet instead of an internet. So after 4 or 5 days, they also stopped blocking us. And that is sort of the story of what happened. If you ask me, why did you do what you did? Why didn't you just close this website? Well, Access for All has always had a policy that we don't just close things. We look at it very carefully. Then we look at the legal situation, and in this case, there was no indication that this publication was illegal in Holland. So we had no cause to do anything about it. And also we had not received any formal message from any government, not from the Dutch government, not from the German government. So officially we didn't even know that this web page existed. It was really strange, because you would expect, if they give orders to shut the website, that they would let this provider know. No, they did not. They tried to kind of blackmail Access for All into removing this document by organizing a block of our site, which is commercially damaging. So we did not remove this document, first because we never heard about it from the authorities, and second because it's not illegal in Holland, and as a provider we don't want to become some kind of ethical organization that has to look at the content and say, do we want this or not? It's the responsibility of the user to put up something on his website and then to take responsibility for it. So that's about it. That's our story. And I now kindly give the word to my German colleagues.
Maybe I think one should mention as well that it is no problem if you're a free Dutch person and you do your internet provider job like all other internet provider jobs, and such a raid is going to happen. But the problem is, every time you want to travel for business or private purposes to Germany, then you have to expect people with black leather coats approaching you and interviewing you. And so it's not just mouth water, it can be rather painful for members of Access for All, for the managers of Access for All, and also for the people who put this magazine on the internet because of supporting the free speech. This group is called Solidarity Group for Political Prisoners. They are not the editors of this magazine, they are just supporters of free speech and left-wing policy. And the case of Angela Marquardt, this German politician who was accused because of her left-wing, gives also a good example that it is not only talk and policy, but it can also, it could be harmful, because Angela Marquardt was, the prosecutors wanted her to pay a fee.
Whatever. She wanted to say that it's illegal. I mean, that's the
point. Yes, in that she has to pay a large amount of her money as a compensation. And maybe Nils can tell a bit more about this trial, which is in the moment, it is still open whether Angela Marquardt will be sentenced or not.
Best thing would be to start at the beginning of the story. Angela Merkel was a vice leader of the German Socialist Party called PDS. And as this vice leader, she subscribed a declaration about freedom of speech, about against censorship in Germany, on the example of the newspaper Radikal, because in 1995, in June, in over 50 towns of the Federal Republic of Germany, the police made a razzia. I hope you understand. They visited a lot of people at home nearly 6 o'clock in the morning and looked for illegal stuff depending on making the Radikal newspaper. And after that there was a declaration for against this action, and Angela subscribed it. And in the January of 1996, on the homepage of Angela was made a link to the internet offer of the Solidarität group for political prisoners, who put on the Radikal into the net on the Access for All server. In the August of 1996, some days before the named blocking of Access for All by German providers, we get a mail in the office. There is a friendly ask of the central German prosecutors to some providers and to some provider organization in Germany for banning Angela's homepage and for banning the access to Access for All and another server in the United States, because they wrote it in that way that would help terroristic organization to send out some illegal stuff. They need the Radikal newspaper and the internet. 2 weeks later, also named really in that letter from the German prosecutors, were named the URL of Angela's sites, at this time by the online service CompuServe, just a normal CompuServe address, everybody knows. And 2 weeks later, in the evening at 11, we got an email from CompuServe with a message: this site has been banned by CompuServe because we find it's not working together with our general license agreement, and so you can't reach it until now. We changed the site, we moved the site to another server in London, and did not think anything else, because there was a letter from providers to the general prosecutors in Germany. In that they wrote down it's not necessary to ban or delete the sites of Angela Merkel, and in the answer the prosecutors did not show that they would do anything else. So it seemed to be quiet until then, but 2 months later Angela got a letter of the Berlin prosecutors. They would start a trial, they would prosecute her because of supporting an illegal organization, and it's the same, like, it's radical. The reason is the link on the homepage to the radical, nothing else, only the link, and hypertext link from standing underneath declaration, the main declaration against the censorship, and the link is going to the first page of the radical support on the side of the solidarity group of political prisoners. And the reason is 4 or 5 links into the offer of the Solidaritätsgruppe. Group. There is one text the Berlin's prosecutors disliked, and that's why when you have 7 clicks from a site to another, then you could be prosecuted in Germany now by supporting the cost of supporting an illegal group or sending out illegal stuff. In the first case, on the lowest level of the juristical way in Germany, I don't know how it's called in English, Angela won the trial. But 2 weeks later, the prosecutors started a prosecution again on the next level in the juristical system. So it will be going on. There's the insecurity of setting links and homepages in Germany is still going on. Normally everybody who has a link anywhere could be prosecuted for that, because maybe some weeks later, maybe some clicks further, there's any stuff German prosecutors dislike and think to be going on against that. That's the story. I'll stop here.
This means putting it on a very extreme point, that if you would make a hyperlink to the Library of Congress, then this would be perhaps criminal, because I'm sure that there are, in such a big library, there will be texts which are illegal in Germany. And also it would mean that web search engines like Alta Vista or something like that, that if this, it's not really a law, but if this opinion of prosecutors in Germany would put into proper law and practice, it would mean that search engines would have to filter their information for anything illegal in Germany. And the problem is that the initiative is so full of energy, and on the other hand, the initiative lacks a lot of profound technical knowledge. And so, but they are in the position to just order, we want to have a clean internet, and the people try to obey their orders. And maybe Andy can tell us a bit more about with the politicians in Germany, for which internet is a very new thing and maybe a dangerous thing, a dirty thing, what they are up to. And maybe Andy can also explain what someone from the Chaos Computer Club has, why he is going to Bonn and discussing with the politicians and teaching them.
Or something like that. So first I'd like to differentiate two things which are not differentiated that much by German politicians or most of the people. I see two areas of, let's say, problematic informations. The one is things which are worldwide or global or however you want to call it, illegal, and which are also not really compatible with that what we call netiquette. So if it's RFC 1855 or whatever, which means things like child pornography or direct pictures of whatever, okay, you can guess yourself. That's one of the area. And the other area I see more there, where it's about what is freedom of speech. So there's many different point of views of what freedom of speech is. In Germany, we have a problem with Nazi propaganda. In Tokyo or in China, they shoot their students if they discuss about their government, and a German journalist of Spiegel would maybe being shoot as well if the Chinese government could just reach him. So if Chinese law would be internationally guilty for the internet, we would have other rules for what freedom of speech is.